So we're on Megillah, and we're skipping forward to Daf Gimel and Beis, three lines on the top, Lo Kasha, and let's define what we're talking about. The Pasuk in the Megillah describes that the Jewish people accepted to perform the holiday of Purim, Mishpacha u Mishpacha, Medina u Medina, Ve'il Ve'il. They accepted to perform it, family, family, city, city, state, state, and we explained why it has to say city, city, to discern between cities that were walled and cities that weren't walled. Medina Umdina is to discern between cities, Shushan, even though it wasn't walled, from time Yeshua, it's still going to read from back from the on the 15th as though it was walled. And then the Gemara says, okay, so what do you do with Mishpacha Mishpacha, family, family? What's that teach us? Why does it say they're going to perform Purim, families, families? So the Gemara offered, Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina explained, to teach us that the Kohanim and the Levim stop their service at the temple to come and hear Megillah in Mass with everyone else. The service at the temple would wait. And the Gemara brings the support from that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that the Kohanim would stop their service, the Levim would stop their song, the Jews, the Yisraelim would stop their Ma'amad, their representation of the Jewish people at the Temple Mount. Everyone would come to hear the reading of the Megillah so that everyone heard it in Mass. They could make their own little minyan later, but it's important to do it in Mass so they'd all stop their work and the Temple would, so to speak, stand silent for an hour as everyone went to hear Mikra Megillah. And from here, and this is the punchline, this is where we're going to focus, the Braisa says, the Rav said, from here, the house of Rebbe had a support that we stopped learning Torah to go hear Megillah in Mass. We learn it as a fortiori, a kal v'chomer from the service in the Temple Mount. If you stop the service on the Temple Mount, certainly you should stop learning Torah in order to come to hear the Megillah in Mass. So now the Gemara says, what?
We haven't brought the proof yet.
That's the kal v'chomer. If you stop the avoda, kol sheken, you stop limud Torah.
That's just a statement. We haven't said anything before that in order to...
Well, stopping the avoda... Stopping the avoda, we just said, is from the words mishpacha u mishpacha. So now we say, if the words mishpacha u mishpacha indicate that the families of Kohanim and the families of Levim, they'd stop their service on the Temple Mount, so we can derive a kal v'chomer. Certainly, people should stop learning Torah, the house of Rebbe would stop the academies, everyone goes here Megillah in Mass. So the Gemara says, wait a second, who told you that the service on the Temple Mount is more stringent than Lima Torah, that you could say such a kal v'chomer? And not only that, I'll prove it the opposite. I'll prove the other way. The Pasuk says that when Yeshua was by Jericho, he saw an angel. And the angel said, I have hereby come. And we have a tradition that when he said, I have hereby come, he was indicating, I've come now, but really I should have come earlier. I'm upset at you. What was he upset at them for? He was upset at them for two things. One, when they laid siege on Jericho, they missed bringing the sacrifice. They missed the avoda, the tumid sacrifice that should be brought every morning and every evening. And two, they didn't learn Torah at nights when they went to war. You're not fighting wars at nights. Why aren't you learning Torah at nights? So Yeshua said, okay, you had two complaints, but what's your main one? What's the weightier one? So the angel said, well, I've come now, because now you're not learning Torah. So from here we understand that the learning Torah was more precious to the angel, was more precious before God, than the sacrifices on the Temple Mount. So how could you say, well, if you stop the service, certainly you stop learning Torah? Here from the story of Yeshua, we seem to have an indication that learning Torah is more weighty than the service on the Temple Mount. So that's the question. And the Gemara says, lo kasha. That's not a question. You guys got it? Lo kasha. It's not a question. Hadi rabim, hadi yochid. There's a difference between the story of Yeshua and the story of the house of Rebbe. When we said that the house of Rebbe derived that you stop learning Torah to go hear Mikra Megillah in Mass from the fact that you stopped the service on the Temple Mount, they meant an individual's learning Torah. an individual is learning Torah, well, the service on the Temple Mount is more important than that. When the angel said to Yeshua, the learning Torah is more important to me than the sacrifices, he meant all of the Jewish people didn't learn last night. What's going on here? No one's learning now. He was talking about all of the Jewish people. Well, if you compare the learning Torah of the Rabbim, the masses of the Jewish people, as opposed to the Avodah, the service on the Temple Mount, then Limud Torah is more weighty. But that has no indication as to what Rebbe was talking about, which was the individual's learning Torah. The house of Rebbe derived from here that if we stop the service on the Temple Mount, certainly individuals should stop their learning to go hear Mikra Megillah. Clear? We're all on the same page? Yeah? Okay. Continues the Gemara and says, "Bidi yochid kal." And is the individual's learning Torah really so light? V'hatnan. But we have a Mishnah that describes the following. When a person passes away, so they'd lament, they'd eulogize, and as they walked and accompanied the deceased in the funeral procession, so they had different forms of lamentations. One was they'd beat their chest. The women would beat their chest. Two was they'd beat their thighs. Three, they'd have a song that all the one woman would say words of lamentations, and everyone would repeat after her. Oh, it's so sad, this great person has died, and everyone would repeat after her. And the different way was that they'd all say together without one leading the chorus. So the Mishnah in Moed Katan says, Noshim Bamoed, the women on Chol HaMoed, when they'd have a funeral procession on Chol HaMoed, Me'anot, they do say the eulogy, the communal eulogy that they all say together, but they don't beat themselves on the chest as they accompany the deceased. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Rabbi Shmuel says, you know what? For those that are standing right near the bed of the deceased, those women, they do beat on their chest. They're right there near the dead. They could express their sorrow like that. That was the halacha on Chol HaMoed. What about Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim? So then the Mishnah says, Manot u'mitapchot. So, on any of these days, they could do inui, they could do tipuach, but they cannot do lekonin. Kina is when one would say and they'd all answer after. Inui is when they'd all call out together the standard lamentations. I guess that's standard things that they used to say. So, me'anot is that they'd all call out together their song of sorrow. So the Mishnah says, on Rosh Chodesh, Hanukkah, and Purim, which are more lenient, we permit them to be me'anot. They could all sing their song of lamentation. They could all be mitapchot. They could all beat themselves on the chest. But lom konenot. They can't have one woman say a lamentation and they all repeat after her. That was like the most severe form of weeping. So that much we don't do on Rosh Chodesh, Hanukkah, and Purim. On those 3 days. The Amar,
more severe than what?
Meaning to just all call out their weeping together. That's let's say we'll call that a level 8 sorrow. So to just beat their chest, we'll call that a level 7 sorrow.
So you couldn't do that on a
weekday, that's what they do. On a weekday, they'd even have...
You want to be a little more strict, but it's a chag.
It's still a chag, so we don't give them a level 10. To be mekoninot, to have Shabbat, we don't have a burial. We don't have a funeral at all. On the Yom Tov itself, we don't have a funeral. On Chol HaMoed, we permit the funeral, but we say, you could do the funeral, but don't be beating on your chest. You could all say, we'll allow you a level 7, where you could all sing your weeping together, but you can't beat the chest, that's a level 8. And you can't have one woman sing out and everyone respond after her, because that's a level 10.
So those,
yeah, that's more sorrowful. So that you don't do on Chol HaMoed. On Hanukkah, Purim, and Rosh Chodesh, so those aren't real holidays. They're less weighty than Chol HaMoed. So we'll even permit you to beat on your chest. But we won't let one woman lead the eulogies. And Rabbi Bar Avuna says, "Ein moed b'fnei tamid chacham." Kol sheken Chanukah vePurim. Rabbi Bar Avuna said, you know what? If it's a Talmud Chacham who passed away, even on Chol HaMoed, we let them do all forms of weeping. For a Talmud Chacham, even on Chol HaMoed, would let him get away with everything. For a Talmud Chacham, there's no such thing as a Chol HaMoed, and certainly on Chanukah and Purim, we'd let them get away with it. So here we see, just one second, here we see that the honor of a Talmud Chacham, well, that seems to take, it's one individual passed away, that has greater weight than even the Yomim Tovim, even the Chanukah and Purim, and we just said for Chanukah, for Purim, you'll stop the service on the Temple Mount in order to go hear the Megillah. So Purim is more important than the service, and the Talmud Chacham is more important than Purim, right? We said, for the honor of Purim, for the sake of Purim, for hearing the Megillah on Purim, you stop the service on the Temple Mount. Now, we tried to say, certainly, Torah. But here we see that Torah is more weighty than the service.
Why is Talmud Chacham
Torah? Why am I honoring him? Because of the Torah, yeah. Because of the Torah that's in him. Yes?
Just a side question. How are these women supposed to be hearing this? Wouldn't it be Kol Yishev or something like that?
Excellent question. So, obviously, they had certain separations. They had an order. The area where the women were, the area where the men were. They had certain separations the way that they did it. Just like a Miriam and the Jewish women sang Az Yashir. They must have had some way to do it. Shlomo Amer says, Asiti li sharim v'sharot. I made for myself male singers and female singers. The male singers was for him, the female singers was for his wives. Yet they had ways of setting this stuff up. So the Gemara says, you know what, that's not a proof. You wanted to prove that, you see, Torah is more important than the service on the Temple Mount. You know what? The example you gave was Kavod Torah, the honor of Torah. Kavod Torah Kamrit. You're telling me the honor of Torah, Kavod Torah the Yachid Hamur. The honor of Torah of the individual, that's really weighty. There you're right. If you're talking to me about the honor of Torah, the honor they give at Talmud Chacham when he passed away, there it's a question of honoring Torah. There we don't say, well, it's only one guy who learned Torah. We say it's Rav Moshe Feinstein. So on Tanis Esther, all of Jerusalem became one packed crowd going to the Levaya of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Anyone who saw it remembers it. The Levaya was here on Tanis Esther, and it was packed. All of Jerusalem was just one big crowd. I don't know if the State of Israel in its history ever had such masses at a Levaya. That's the honor of the Torah. We say, it's one person that died. It's one person who's being buried. No, that's the honor of Torah. The honor of Torah, you're right. That's more weighty than the service on the Temple Mount. That's more weighty. You're right. But our question was, do you stop an individual's learning Torah? Honoring Torah is a different question. There I don't say, well, it's only the individual's Torah that was learned. But our question was, do you stop the individual's learning? Can you derive that you stop the individual's learning from the fact that you stop the avodah, the service in the Beis HaMikdash on Temple Mount? And that the Gemara stands by its guns? Yes, you can. Yeah.
So if the Gemara is going to say, yeah, I hear you, you're right. The Kavod for Torah, we don't stop the temple. Like, that's the distinction it's going to make. That we don't stop the temple service.
No, for the honor of Lima Torah, we would stop this temple service. Let's make an order. We began by saying, we derive from Mishpacha, we stop the Avodah, the service on Temple Mount, we stop the Avodah for Purim, for hearing Megillah. We said if we stop Avodah, certainly we stop learning Torah. We said, wait a second, who said learning Torah is more weighty than Avodah? But the angel told Yoshua that the Torah was more important. Answer, the angel was talking about learning Torah of all of Am Yisrael. For sure, that's more important than Avodah. What we said was, if you stop Avodah, certainly you stop individuals learning Torah for hearing Megillah. So far we're together? That's the Kal v'Chomer. You stop Avodah for Megillah, you stop the individuals learning Torah for hearing Megillah in Mass. The Gemara said, but you see here that in the honor of even an individual's burial, an individual Talmud Chacham, you would desecrate Chol HaMoed, you would desecrate Purim, so you see that an individual's Torah is more important than Purim, is more important than Avodah, is more important than everything. What do you mean? If you stop Avodah for Purim, certainly you stop an individual's Torah for Purim. Who said an individual's Torah is less important than Avodah? Here we see that an individual's Torah is more important than Purim and Avodah and everything. So the whole Kal v'Chomer was built on this, that I can say, if you stop Avodah for Purim, certainly you stop an individual's Torah for Purim. Well, here we see that an individual's Torah is more important than Purim and Avodah and everything else. You can't derive from Avodah to an individual's Torah. Answer? No, that's not talking about an individual's Torah. That's talking about the honor of the Torah. The honor of the Torah, even in the in individual's Torah, is more important than everything else. You're right. That's the honor of the Torah. That's not an individual's actual learning. When it comes to an individual's actual learning, there the avodah is still more important. And if I stop avodah for hearing Megillah, I certainly stop the individual's learning for hearing Megillah and miss. He had a question for us. Sorry.
Oh, well, I think I had it. The reason why the stopping to do the mourning for the Talmud Chacham is more important than the Purim, which would then there be more important than the Avodah, because they're stopping Purim for the eulogy of the Torah stop.
Technically, yeah.
But I'm not seeing the connection. Maybe I'm not getting, why does that show that it's more important than Avodah?
Well, if Purim is more important than if Avodah is more important. If Purim is more important than Avodah, because I stopped my Avodah to hear the Megillah,
okay.
And the honor of the Talmud Chacham is more important than Purim,
okay.
Then you can't make that.
Right, and then I lose the Kav HaChomer. Answer, no. This is honor, this is learning. Two different things.
And that brings it back Kav HaChomer.
Right, makes the Kav HaChomer back.
But that doesn't make sense, because how is learning Torah not Kavod HaTorah? You're learning Torah, and it's Kavod HaTorah by the Limud. So you're having both more.
No. Learning Torah is the action of the mitzvah. Honoring Torah is that we all show how much we value the Torah. Learning Torah is the action of the mitzvah. Now, if someone has learned Torah and we show them honor, we're actually, in essence, showing how much we value the Torah. Two different things.
So what do I learn from here? That when a Rebbe stands up, when a Rebbe comes to the room, Talmid Chacham says, and I stand up for him, that's Kavod HaTorah, right?
Correct.
So then that's more important than the Limud I was just learning?
Quite possibly, yeah. That's a very good point, yeah. It's a very nice thought. Yeah, the Gemara later on is going to say, look at how foolish people are. When you carry a Sefer Torah around, they come and they give it a kiss. And they don't realize that the Talmud Chacham is more deserving of the honor. The Talmud Chacham is the Kavod HaTorah, right?
Wow.
Right, you're right, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but when every time a Torah scroll comes by you, you should stand up. Is that correct or no?
Every time you're in a room where a Torah scroll is being moved.
So, but when a Talmud Chacham comes in the room, you stand up for it. But if he keeps walking back and forth, you don't keep standing up, do you?
Nope. There. Bezrat Shem, when we learn Hari Yos, we'll discuss it. No, there was a time when it was like you said, and then the rabbis made a distinction. Rosh Yeshiva, Avbezdin, they made a distinction. So, like when Rav Igon comes in, people stand till he reaches his place, till he sits down, right? That's like the Sefer Torah. Okay, so we're lenient because we got to move on with our lives. But technically, that's the equivalent. And the way you're describing, yeah, it used to be that way for all Talmidei Chacham. It used to be that they stand up like you're saying. Then they start making distinctions. That for this Talmud Chacham, when he comes near you, when he comes to your row, everyone stands up. It's like a wave. Mm-hmm. And depending on the level of where he's holding in the yeshiva. That was a distinction. When we learn Horius, we'll learn. Okay. We did it once. It's on TorahForMe.org. Okay. We once discussed it. Yeah.
How does the Gemara know for sure that Kavod HaTorah is more important than Limud Torah? It's just hard for me to grasp, because I remember a story with the Vilna Gaon when he said that one of his Talmid, he stood up for his Talmid, for the Talmid, because, and then everyone's asking, I don't know, I'm not sure if it was the Vilna Gaon, but he said, why are you standing up for him? He's one of the Talmid, why would you stand up for him? And he told him that then he came up to him after, he said, you were the only one at one point in the night learning. You were the only one in the world learning at one point in the night. And I stood up because you were learning, you were holding up the world.
Don't know. I don't know how to answer stories.
Okay.
If it's a story in the Gemara, I have to deal with it. Weiter. The Gemara has a rule. When a story is quoted, you have to first verify who's quoting it.
Of course.
So if you told me you saw the Vilna Gaon,
maybe you heard it as well.
Thing,
that's why I was
even
saying.
If I heard it as well.
Oh, okay.
So I have stories that remain in question mark.
Okay. Sure.
So the Gemara now answered. Kavod Torah de Yochid Chomur. The honor of an individual's Torah, that's weighty. Talmud Torah de Yochid, but the learning of the individual, Kal. And that's why if we stop our Avodah for the sake of Mikra Megillah, Kol Shekein, that we stop the Limud Torah of the individual for Mikra Megillah. Okay, let's move forward. And there are a lot of points we could point out here. I think we should focus on pshat. Mm-hmm. So I'm moving forward and not raising other points. Amar Rava. So we basically closed that to an extent. Now Rava is going to open up a different angle. Pshitali says, let's set up parameters. Now, the following is obvious to me. Avodo Mikra Megillah. If we have a question, who pushes whom over? Avoda, the service on the Temple Mount, and the reading of the Megillah, Mikra Megillah Adif. Then I know that the reading of Megillah, well, that takes precedence. Mid Rabbi Yosi Brebi Chanina. I derived that from what Rabbi Yosi Brebi Chanina taught me. That's what he taught me, that the words Mishpacha or Mishpacha in the Pasuk indicate that we stop Avoda for the sake of Mikra Megillah in Mass. Talmud Torah or Mikra Megillah, if I have these two facing off, learning Torah and reading Megillah, I also know Mikra Megillah Adif, that the reading of Megillah in Mass takes precedence, Midasamchu Shel Beit Revi, because I know that the house of Revi, they said from Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, from the fact that we stop the Avoda for the sake of Mikra Megillah, we can have support that we stop the learning Torah of the individuals for the sake of reading Megillah. My question is, now that I've set up those parameters, Talmud Torah umet mitzvah, again, one more parameter will be set up, and that is, if I have the question of learning Torah, or there's a person who passed away and there's no one around to bury him, tells us, the Gemara, it's obvious, met mitzvah adif, that the deceased, the honor of that body takes precedence, Biditanya, because the Braisa says, mevatlin Talmud Torah lo tzata met, we stop learning Torah in order to give proper honor and take out the deceased. And this isn't only a meis mitzvah. This is even a Talmud Chacham. This is even a person who just doesn't have enough people there to honor him in the burial. So the Gemara calls it meis mitzvah. It's not only a meis mitzvah. Honoring the deceased takes precedence over learning Torah. And we also stop learning Torah v'lachnasat kala for the sake of bringing in a kala, if people have to accompany her to the chuppah, so we stop our learning Torah, so that we're the ones that deign to make it levedik, we make it happy when the kala goes into her chuppah. I also know one more parameter, avodah v'met mitzvah, if I have facing off the service on the Temple Mount and a deceased, met mitzvah adiv, the honor of the deceased comes first, mi vila achoto, as is derived from the word vila achoto. The Torah tells us that a Kohen should not become Tamei for people who pass away. The exceptions being his father, his mother, his son, his daughter. And then the Torah says his brother, his sister who is a virgin who has not yet been wed, for her too he must become defiled. The Talmud says, why did the Torah use so many words? And anyways, we could have derived from a Kal v'chomer, we could have derived logically that he must become Tamei for her. Why did the Torah say, v'la achoto, so many words, and for her too he must become Tamei? From here the Talmud derives, says the Braisa, d'tanya. The Braisa says as follows, v'la achoto ma Talmud lomar. Why does the Torah have to tell us the words Vila Achoto? Meaning, the Torah tells us, let me explain again, I didn't explain correctly. The Torah tells us by a Kohen, he becomes Tamei to his father, mother, sister, brother, son, daughter, wife. And then when it comes to a Nazir, a person who took a vow of purity, the Torah again repeats, he should become Tamei for his father, mother, son, daughter, sister, brother. And the Talmud says, you know, once the...
This is low Talmud,
right? Right. I'm sorry. Backwards. I got it backwards again. Why? By a Kohen, it says he should become Tamei. By a Nazir, it says he does not become Tamei for any relative. Right. A Nazir does not become Tamei for any relative, including his father, mother, sister, brother, son, daughter, wife. The Nazir does not become Tamei to all of those. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Once the Torah says he does not become Tamei for any relative, it says, right, why does it give me these specifics? Torah says he should not become Tamei at all. Okay, scratch everything I said until now. Let's start again. Says by Nazir, that he does not become the... I didn't get a chance to prepare tonight.
I
didn't know we'd start here. You did skip me a daf forward. So again, the Torah says a Nazir does not become Tamei for anyone. And then the Torah says father, mother, sister, brother, son, daughter. So the Talmud says, why does the Torah have to specify? Once the Torah told me, Al nefesh met lo yavoi, he doesn't become tamei for any disease, why do we need these specifications? So the Torah says, the Gemara says in Nazir, it's coming to teach me Amir. The Torah is saying, he should not become tamei for his father, but he does become tamei for a met mitzvah. He does not become tamei for his mother, but he does become tameh for a mit mitzvah, even if he has two holinesses on him, kohen plus nazir. He does not become tameh for his brother, but he does become tameh for a mit mitzvah, even if he is a nazir plus a kohen gadol.
What's mit mitzvah?
Mit mitzvah is someone that's dead and there's no one around who's going to bury him.
Okay. He's the only one there, like,
you're walking in the desert, you come across the drunk who came to town yesterday, he's been spending all night in the bar, and no one knows who he is, and everyone's wondering who he is, because the bartender's been demanding he should pay up his bill, and he's running around half naked, and he's the bum of the town, he's, I'm not going to pay you, right? He's been, and now he drops dead. And it's Erev Yom Kippur, and the Kohen Gadol, who's a Nazir, is on his way to the temple to do the Avodah, and he sees a body. And he looks around, and he says, anyone hear me? No one around. Can anyone come and help? No one around. He looks, and it's that drunk. It's that guy. That guy who's been living the most impure life you can imagine. He says he's never going to pay the money he owes. And he's been living this life. And the Torah says, you, Kohen Gadol, who is a Nazir, and all the Jewish people need you. So tomorrow you're going to do the Avodah. And you're going to become disqualified, says the Torah. That's okay. Honoring the human body, human dignity. There's a body there. Even though it's that bum, even though it's that drunk, even though it's that guy who did everything you can imagine, he's a human being. You have to show him that respect. You, Kohen Gadol, if no one's within earshot, he is a met mitzvah, he is a deceased that you have a mitzvah to bury, you bury him.
How big of an earshot?
As loud as he could. I mean,
is there actually a lock of procedure where he has to make a declaration, like, around him?
Well, if he could get other people.
Can you just look around and see around, like, in the distance?
I think that's okay, right. He knows he's in the middle of the Sahara. He's not seeing anyone. He doesn't have to yell.
That's why we have the Sagan. Right? How do you call him the
Sagan? Sagan, yeah. So.
Backup.
Yeah. So, then the Torah says, Vela Achoso. What are you going to do with his sister? We've covered everything. He's already Kohen Gadol plus Nazir. Why does the Torah have to say Vila Achoso and his sister too? His sister and not what? You've already covered the highest level of Judaism, right? He's Kohen Gadol plus Nazir. Now what? So we say, Titania, Vela Achotoma Talmud Domar. What are you going to learn from the fact that the Torah says the Nazir should not become Tamei for his sister? It's teaching us the following. Now we have to learn something else. So it's telling us, he was on his way to do a mitzvah that has a kares, punishment with it. He was on his way to shecht the korban Pesach. A person who misses korban Pesach, it's kares. He was on his way to circumcise his son. A person who forgoes circumcising his son and then the child lives till 120 and dies without a circumcision, that's a kares. So he was on his way to do one of these positive commandments.
What if the guy doesn't circumcise his son and then he dies and his son's still alive and later on his son does the circumcision?
So yeah, it's the son's obligation of kares, not the father's really. But he was on his way to do a mitzvah that's connected to kares. Really, it's not his issur kares. The child's responsibility when he becomes an adult. Truth is, it goes differently. He has a responsibility to circumcise his son. If he doesn't do it, then the courts have a responsibility to do it. And the community has a responsibility to take care of it. And if not, when the kid hits 13 and then he discovers he's in the middle of Omaha, Nebraska, and he discovers he's a Jew and he doesn't have a circumcision, he should call us up and we'll set him up with a good kosher circumcision. That's his responsibility. I mean, after his father hasn't taken care of it and there's no community, they haven't taken care of it. Yeah.
I'm assuming this clause is to show how strong of a case, like to show an extra extreme from Lafoto, right?
It's coming to teach us. We didn't finish the sentence. It's coming to teach us one more halacha from Vilachotu.
Why is it used? Okay.
So the Braisa says, what's Vilachotu coming to teach me? The following. He was on his way to sacrifice his Pesach sacrifice. Vilamulit beno, and to circumcise his son. Vishamashamet lomet. He heard that someone passed away in the family. Yachol yitama. You think maybe he should go become defiled and lose out on his sacrifice, on his Pesach sacrifice? Amalta lo yitama. That's why Torah tells us, no, don't become defiled. You go do your Pesach sacrifice. You shouldn't become defiled. Yachol kishem she'eno mitame la'achoto kach eno mitame le'met mitzvah. You might think that just like Nazir, or just like he doesn't become defiled for his sister, so too he shouldn't become defiled for a met mitzvah. He should say to the corpse, listen here buddy, I don't know your name, but I'm going to go do my Pesach sacrifice, and if when I come back your body's still here, we'll deal. No, says the Torah. Can't do that. You can't do that. Ah, you're on the way to do a Korban Pesach. You're on the way to do circumcision. Says the Torah, don't become defiled for your sister.
But do become.
He's going to miss the day. He's going to miss the mitzvah now. He's going to have to do it later or whenever. Yeah, Pesach, he also can do Pesach Sheini.
That's what I was going to say. Why are you using that as an example, though?
Okay, so it's a good question. So the Gemara says, "Tanud lomav lachoto." That's why the Torah says, "By a nazir, don't become tamei for his sister." Lachoto deinom tamei. He doesn't become tamei for his sister. Aval mitamei lemet mitzvah. But he does become tamei for a mes mitzvah. That's what it teaches me. Yeah. So that's till here. We're together. So now let's set up. What has Rava been setting up? Rava said, I know that Avodah gets pushed off for reading Megillah. I know that Torah gets pushed off for reading Megillah. I know that Torah also gets pushed off for a Meis Mitzvah. So I understand that a Meis Mitzvah is more important than Torah. And now I know for than Avodah, because you don't do your Pesach sacrifice for the sake of a Meis Mitzvah. So Meis Mitzvah weighs more than Avodah, we just saw, more than the Pesach, and more than Torah, we saw beforehand. You stop learning Torah to take care of someone that passed away. So Meis Mitzvah is more important than Torah and Avodah. And Megillah, we just said in the beginning of the Amud, is more important than Torah and Avodah. So what's going to be my question? Well, what happens when I have a face-off between Megillah and Meis Mitzvah? If they're both more important than Avodah and Torah, what happens when they both face off? You have a choice. Deal with the dead or deal with the Megillah. Who comes first? So that's Rava set up the parameters. He said, I know this, I know this, I know this, and I know that. Now that I have my knowns, now let's say I've set up, now I know what are the weightiest things. So now let's face them off. So says Rava. Says Rava. Bai Rava. So now Rava asks. Notice, this is standard style in the Gemara. Rava begins by saying, Pshitali, the following parameters are obvious to me, I understand them. And after he sets up the parameters, then we say, Bai Rava. Rava asks the question. Rava does this frequently in the Shas. Not only Rava, but we find it very often with Rava. That he says, the following I know, now that I've set that up, here's what I don't know.
Pshitali can mean two different things. So also learning in the Bava Basra, Peshitta can mean like, this is so obvious, it must be teaching us something else.
Right. Right.
So it also can mean like Shitali. It's like here's the background. This is the obvious background. Now let's build up a new
right. Correct. Says the Gemara, Boi Rava. Rava asked. The word Boi means need, want, or ask. Boi Rava. Rava asked. Mikra Megillah v'met mitzvah. If I have these two facing me, read the Megillah in mass, or take care of a mace mitzvah. Hai minayu adif, which takes precedence. Mikra Megillah adif, mishum persume nisa. Do I say reading the Megillah in mass takes precedence, because then you have more publicity for the miracle? O dilma, or maybe met mitzvah adif, mishum kvod abriyot. Maybe the burial of this deceased takes precedence. Remember, it's precedence of an hour. Because honoring God's creatures. Now, not so accurate what I just said, because you leave the body lying around, you know, werewolves could come and take it. You could have, wolves and all kinds of animals go walk off with the body. So, what? So it's not like you'll necessarily have the option in an hour. You don't know what'll happen with the body during that hour that you go hear the Megillah.
Organ donors might take it.
So...
It's a
lotus, so says Rava, Potter de Bayo Hodar Poshto. After he asked it, he answered it. He came back and answered it. Met mitzvah adif, burying this deceased takes precedence. Tamau mal, because we were taught, Gadol kvod abriyot, shedoche et lotas eshebatoha. The dignity, the human dignity, the dignity for God's creatures is so great that it sometimes even pushes off biblical prohibitions. And when we learn brachos, we'll learn that. We did that in the Ein Yaakov class a few weeks ago. What does that mean? So that's his answer. That when you have Mikra Megillah versus Mace Mitzvah, Mikra Megillah takes precedence. Mace Mitzvah takes precedence. Mace Mitzvah takes precedence.
And so, therefore, then
the reason why?
Not because it's a lotase.
Because you can't.
Because honoring
stand by and watch death. Uh-huh.
Because honoring the deceased is so weighty that it can sometimes push off even biblical prohibitions. It is so important before God that it could sometimes push off biblical prohibitions. The Torah says, if you see your neighbors, your friends' lost object, you can't ignore that. Biblical prohibition. You can't ignore it. Biblical prohibition. The Torah says, when you walk by his lost item, you will ignore it. You can't ignore that. Notice the Torah first says a question mark. You will ignore it. The talamta. You can't ignore it. Prohibition. Tell us our sages. Why does the Torah first say, you will ignore it? Tell you, yes, sometimes you will ignore it. If you walk by and your neighbor has, their bag of diapers, dirty diapers, all filthy, fell out of their garbage pail. And if you put it in the garbage bin, then the garbage man will throw it on the truck. If you don't, so then they'll sit there and get their whole lawn dirty. So let's say you're the chief rabbi of Israel. You never touch your own dirty bag of diapers. People saw you doing that, they wouldn't respect you. Let's say there's a lost object which you'd be embarrassed to touch. So then we say, if you wouldn't do it for yourself, if it's beneath your dignity for yourself, your human dignity takes precedence. So the Torah here said, you shall ignore it, question mark, to tell you sometimes you shall ignore it. Your human dignity will sometimes take precedence over the prohibition. Do not ignore it. And so we say that human dignity is so precious before Hashem, it can sometimes be weightier than a biblical prohibition. And as such, if I have a question, the rabbinic mitzvah of reading Megillah versus human dignity of mit mitzvah, the human dignity takes precedence because it is so important that it can sometimes overpower a biblical prohibition. Clear?
Like it's so human dignity is more powerful than a biblical prohibition, so it'd certainly be more powerful than a rabbinical.
Good, very good. Huh? Very good. Yeah, just take new ones. Yeah.
I just, if you're in a place where there's a lot of lost objects, I mean, like this is Shiva. I mean, you walk around, there's always new stuff sitting around.
We have a rule that says that if your time is more precious than dealing with that object, you don't have to deal with it. You're going to start dealing with a pen. Someone left a candy. You're going to start dealing with whose is this?
All over the place. Books. I mean, you just you name it. Like, there's tons of stuff.
That's it. You don't have to.
But then when, at some point, the yeshiva has all these different lost objects.
That's the yeshiva's issue. That's why most yeshivas put up a sign that says any object, if you enter our grounds, it's under the condition and the understanding that anything that remains here more than 30 days unclaimed, we can do with it what we wish. That's what most yeshivas do.
What if there has been something past 30 days unclaimed?
Talk to the Rosh Yeshiva. I don't...
Yeah.
So, what you just said about from the Talmud and Torah, are we supposed to already know that? Like, why isn't he bringing that?
Because the Gemara in Brachas brings that, and the Gemara in Bava Metzia brings it.
Why did he say, like, we learned in the...
Rashi brings it for you.
Oh, Rashi says it.
Yeah.
So what did he do? Where did he leave that he found out the answer? Like, he asked the question.
I didn't follow.
He said he went out, came back.
Oh, Hadar means he came back to it, and came back to the answer. Hadar means after he asked the question, he came back and answered it. Doesn't mean literally.
Oh, does it mean like he stopped and...
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.